Open your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. When you get there, you'll find out how familiar this passage is, unless you knew the reference, amen. A fresh start, a new beginning, starting over, second chance, whatever you want to name it. It's just God gives us chances to start over. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, I remember when I became a new creature. Do you remember when God came in and saved you? Do you remember when that event, that moment happened? You know, it doesn't take time. It's not a process. It happens instantaneously, just like a new birth of a baby. And I remember the moment when God came in and made me a new creature. And He took an old sinner, and so were you, no matter how old you were when you got saved, you were a sinner. And He gave me new lips to talk, say different things and new things. I wasn't saying the old things I used to say. And He gave me new ears to hear. I wouldn't listen to the things I used to listen to anymore. I listened to different things. He gave me new eyes to look on new things, and I didn't look on the old things anymore. And He gave me new feet. I didn't go where I used to go. And now my feet take me to places to share the gospel with people. And He gave me new hands. I don't do what I used to do. God makes us new creatures, new creations, born again. It's an amazing thing that everything has become new. But everything, also the old, is passing away. All the old life and the old ways and the hopelessness, it's all gone. I got a fresh start when I got saved. And I got new ways of thinking, and I have new friends, and I have new goals, I have a new life. That can happen every day. Now, I don't get saved every day. I got saved 24 years ago. But I can have a fresh start. When I get down in the dumps and when things aren't going so well, I can get a fresh start every day. You know, you might be one of those Christians that once served the Lord with gladness, and you lived a faithful life, and for the glory of God, you know, you were going along and they're good, but now you're at the bottom. You're not quite the same Christian you used to be. You're not serving the Lord the way you used to be. And you're wondering, am I ever going to be able to get up again? God ever going to use me? God ever want to use somebody who's walked away from Him? Or for whatever reason, I'll give you a few examples of people who got away from God. But I just want to let you know that God wants to give you a fresh start. Maybe you're a Christian who has lived years without a major failure. Everything's been sailing along, man. It's been fine. Everything's been really good for you. First of all, that is kind of rare that you haven't had something that you stumbled over, some problem or issue in your life. But let me just say, be careful, because 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." It's all grace, friend. It's all grace that we can do anything for God. You need to stay close to God. And because life can change in a minute, can't it? In a moment, in a second, your whole life can change. And we're learning a little bit about that, you know, just in the affairs of the church. And things can change so fast. Where are you right now in your walk with God? You know, maybe you're in the first group. Let me encourage you with the Word of God. You feel you failed so miserably. You're just not the same Christian you used to be. There's no hope of ever getting right again, you think. No, there's good news out there. There's good news that there's a way back to the joy of God's salvation. You can have joy in your heart. You know, small choices and small decisions can send us down a road where we never intended to go. And we can wind up farther away from God than we ever intended. Just by little choices, small decisions. And, you know, even 1 degree off course, after some time, you are far away from the will of God. Just 1 degree off, and you want to be right in the center of God's will. And the center of God's will is right here in chapter 5 also. It says here, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And Jesus Christ died for all, because we're all dead in our trespasses and sins until He saves us. So He did. He died for all. And that He died for all, that they which live, those who are born again, do not live henceforth, live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You know, the reason God saved you was to serve Him. And, you know, if you're not serving Him now, He wants to give you a fresh start. He wants to give you a second chance to get going on this thing. You know, and, you know, His love, the love of Christ constraineth us. It compels us. It urges us. It moves us, because His love is in us. And it works through us, that He wants to live His life in us and through us. And in verse 18, what does God want us to do? You know, you could make a good decision just to trust Him right now and get back to doing what He wants you to do and being what He wants you to be. And in verse 18 it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what He wants you to do. That's what He wants you to be, a minister of reconciliation to a lost world. To the same way somebody told you about Jesus Christ, you can have that fresh start, and you can, like David, the psalmist David, begin to draw people to Christ and bring them to Christ, and they can see that, have that ministry of reconciliation, who were once enemies of God, now make them the friends of God through Jesus Christ. And then to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation in verse 19. So He's given us His Bible. He's given us His Holy Spirit. We know what He wants us to do. We have the Word of God. And so that's what the Lord wants to help us to be, what we should be. Now, many of us aren't doing that. But I want you to know that in verse 20 it says, we are ambassadors for the Lord. We're His representatives here. And if you're not living for the Lord now, then you're not being a very good ambassador for Jesus Christ. But He wants you. He wants you to represent Him in this world. That's the work that He has given us. Are you doing that work? Are you doing the work as a witness of Christ and a ministry of reconciliation and an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because frankly, that's what He wants us to do. That's what He wants us to be. And if you need a fresh start, today would be a good day to do that. Because God is the God of second chances. He will give you a second chance. You don't have to languish in self-pity either. You need to get up. You need to get right with God, and you can have a second chance. And you can start serving the Lord. But what does God want for us? He never wants us to stop pressing forward. He always wants us to keep going. I told you, Leo, that would be in the message. He wants us to keep moving forward. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says here in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, if anybody could have held up their flesh and said they were a good person, it would have been Paul. He had everything. He had position. He had power. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. The tribe of Benjamin, I mean, he was pious, he said. He was blameless, which is righteous and blameless. But he counted all those things but dung to win the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that said, I have not apprehended. I haven't gained. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't got all the life of Christ in me yet. I'm not living for the Lord the way I could. I'm not there yet. I'm not at the goal line, and none of us are. He says, but I'm not going to forget. I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm pressing toward that mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, if you're defeated because of your own sin, that's one thing. You need to get right with God. That's simple. That's getting down by your bedside, on your knees, and asking Jesus Christ to forgive you for the sins that you've committed. And you need to get right with God. There's far too many Christians are living in the past. They're living on past failures, and guess what? They're living on past successes. Oh, I did that before. I used to teach in Sunday school. You know, I've done that before, excuse me. And you think you don't have to do that anymore. Well, nobody says you have to do it anymore, but are you serving God? You see? Are you leaning on the past? Are you thinking about the past? The past can paralyze you to do nothing for the future. Because somebody's hurt you, maybe. I don't know. Maybe somebody said something that hurt you. Maybe you have some unresolved conflict with somebody. I don't know. Maybe the worst thing that could possibly happen in your life, you've been defriended from Facebook. Now, you have no idea what I'm talking about, and I don't have Facebook either, but people, I heard about a person, she got defriended, and she thought it was the end of the world. I really don't understand that. If they were your friend, how do they defriend you? I don't know how you get defriended. But people have fallen away from God over the silliest things. They used to serve God, but they don't serve Him anymore. You know, Christians need to forget the past when it holds them back from pressing ahead. All right? I realize we're creatures with feelings and emotions. I have feelings. I have emotions. That's the way God made me. But they're not to hold me back from doing His will and obeying Him. We're not supposed to quit. The moment that you stop, you backslide. You don't stay in one spot. It's like a salmon when they go upstream, you see. They're always fighting the current. They're always fighting the current. The salmon want to get back to where, and lay their eggs back to where they were born and where they came from. They have this innate sense inside of them to go back to that little tiny pond where they were birthed, and they swim all the way out to the ocean, and then 3 years they spend out there. This is in the northwestern part of the United States. These salmon, then they get birthed, and for 3 years they spend out in salt water. Then they go all the way back up to these little tiny rivulets of water way up in fresh water to lay their eggs again. The whole time they're fighting the current, trying to get back there. And if they stop, they'll go backwards. They don't stay where they're at in a rushing river. The same way if you're in a kayak, and you're kayaking along, you're trying to go up against the flow, you gotta keep paddling, you know? The moment you stop, you don't stay there. You go the other way. Well, the current in this world against God is strong. It's against God. And the moment you stop pushing forward for the glory of God, you're going backwards. You're not staying where you're not standing still. You're going backwards. I encourage you to keep pressing on. Look at John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, and in verse 10 it says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, the Lord wants to give you abundant life. The thief is the devil. He has stolen more people's joy, and he has killed more dreams that Christians have about serving God, and he's destroyed more families because we've allowed them. So many lives and plans have been destroyed by the devil. Jesus Christ came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. He says, look at verse 9. I'm sorry, I wanted to show you here today. In verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, you need to understand that there's a God who wants to save you. And Jesus died on that cross. He gave His life on that cross that we might be saved. He says, if I am the door, He says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The liberty that we can have in Jesus Christ, the freedom that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ, He doesn't want to take our lives away. He doesn't want to kill and steal and destroy. He wants to uplift and give us a full, abundant life. A satisfying new life. He wants to give life more abundantly. I don't know why we would want to languish in this old life. I don't know why we want to stay, you know, sourpuss and not serving God and Why not get right with God and say, Lord, give me a fresh start. Let me start serving you like I should. And you'll see that life can well up inside of you. You know, there's a lot of Bible characters who got away from God, and they experienced a lot of trials and a lot of spiritual failures. A lot of people started over again. Even God started over. You know, He used a cleansing flood. He used a judging flood to start over. Because this world was so wicked. He said even the thoughts of man were evil continually. And He had had it up to here. And He decided He was going to judge this world. And He did it with a flood. He started over. And I would venture to say, after some say it was 1,500 years from creation to the flood, there was millions and millions of people on this earth. And they all died. They all decided they weren't going to get on the ark. Isn't that something? Noah preached all that time he was building the ark. He preached righteousness and tried to tell them about what God was going to do. And not a one of them got on. Because man has a free will and he can choose to do what he wants. And so do you. God's given you a chance to start over. You should start over. You should take that chance. Genesis 6:8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's a good thing, isn't it? Remember the day you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? You found grace. You found something that was unmerited, unworthy, you were unworthy of. It was just the love of Jesus Christ that you found. Starting over requires grace. You say, I'll start over when I want to start over. No, you won't. You won't start over when you want to start over. This isn't your world. This isn't your creation. God created this world. This is His world. Now, you can go ahead and do what you want, and you'll suffer the consequences. But if you want to start over fresh, you'll start over when God opens your heart and lets you know you're away from God. You need to get right with God and start over. This is His creation. In fact, turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. I think sometimes we forget who we are. I know I do. Psalm chapter 8, and verse 1 says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, whose heavens? Thy heavens, and the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Who am I, Lord? David said, when I look up and I see who you are in your creation, why do you even worry about a speck of dust on a speck of dust? Because that's all I am. You know what the Bible calls your soul? A worm. And you know what? If you're not saved here, your soul will go where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. And God loves us. Worms. He loves us. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I'm just saying, this is God's creation. And we don't always make the right choices, and we can't always say when we're going to do something. God is the one that's in charge of things here. He's the one that provides grace, and starting over requires grace. Because we don't merit, we're not worthy of anything, except His love shows that grace toward us and allows us to be drawn back to Him and serve Him. You know, the bow in the sky after the flood, the bow in the sky was a grace. It was a promise of grace that I'll never destroy the earth again by a flood. God owes us nothing. God owes us absolutely nothing, but He is so good to us. It's your choice to receive the gift of eternal life. It's totally unearned, totally unmerited, You're unworthy except to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary to save you. Let me just say this. Don't wait till it's too late. You see, I'm sure the people on the highest mountains screaming out as the ark went by wanted to get in the ark then, but it's too late. And there's going to come a time when it's too late. You're not going to be able to call upon the name of the Lord. His hand won't be outstretched to you anymore. It'll be over. That's going to be a sad time. And my friend, also, you want to serve God again. You want to have a fresh start with the Lord. Today's the day to do that. Why wait? What are you waiting for? Until your heart gets harder? Until you get befriended again on Facebook? And you just get farther and farther away from God? Anyway, someday He's going to shut the door and it's not going to be opened again. Salvation is a fresh start. You know, the text says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Heaven is reserved for those in Christ. You have to be in Christ in order to go to heaven. If you're no new birth, then no heaven. If you haven't been born again, you will not go to heaven. It's only for new creatures. It's only for new creations in Christ, those that He has saved. And He's done it all by the blood of His cross. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, just a couple of verses of Scripture here. Kathy, I'll take another one of those mints here, if you want. Whatever they are. They're keeping my mouth going here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You know what you have in Christ? You have forgiveness. You have forgiveness and redemption offered through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, we have that today as Christians. I don't know if there's anyone here that's not saved, but you can be forgiven of all your sins. A complete pardon. Everything that you've done can be placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't earn that. You can't go to church enough. You can't talk to enough pastors and priests. You can't just be baptized. You can't pray enough. You have to ask Jesus Christ to save you. You have to realize that you are a lost sinner. But He gives redemption. He redeems us. He buys us back. He paid the price at Calvary. That's why He died on the cross, because the wages of sin is death. And He shed His blood for the remission of sins. The only way a sin can be covered is by that precious blood that was shed at Calvary. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Don't forget God reconciled us through Jesus Christ. That we've now gone from being enemies of God in our minds and the wicked thoughts that you had toward God, even before you got saved, and the wicked things that we did, and now He brought us together through the blood of His cross. I want you to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Because it says there also, in having made peace. I'm glad I'm at peace with God. He's not my judge anymore. Oh, He'll judge me on my works, but I'm not going to be judged on my salvation anymore. My sins have been forgiven. They're under the blood. And I have peace with God. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I've been brought back into friendship with God through Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. forgiveness, redemption, peace, and reconciliation by the blood of His cross. You know, turn back to John chapter 10. You know, Jesus didn't have to die for us. He didn't have to. Now, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a sacrifice for sins. But He didn't have to. He felt it. He was obligated. He felt like that's what He wanted to do because He's the good shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see that? No man taketh my life. And He said, crucify Him. Lord, He could have called 12 legions of angels at any moment, and it could have been over. And man would still be stuck in his sin. But that's not Jesus Christ. That's not our God. He went all the way to the cross, and He laid there and allowed them to put those nails into His hands. And He died there on that cross for our sins because He loves us. You know, all the riches of His grace, you remember back there in Ephesians, says it's all by the riches of His grace. You know, grace is God's way of providing holiness where there was once unholiness. I mean, there's not a one of us that has our own holiness. And also, it's God's way of providing righteousness for unrighteousness. There's not a one of us that are righteous. We have the righteousness of Christ. And it was God's way of providing freedom for bondage. I don't know about you, but I was stuck in my sin. I was in bondage to my sin, and He freed me. He gave me liberty. And He did that all by giving Himself as a sacrifice on the cross. You can have a fresh start today. You can do it through salvation. But Peter had a fresh start, too. Look in Matthew 26. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you got a problem with pride. Peter's fresh start. Peter started over after a prideful heart made a statement and denied Jesus Christ. But listen to what he says here. Look at these verses in Matthew 26 and verse 31. It says, they just left the Mount of Olives. They went out to the Mount of Olives from, they've just had the Last Supper there. And then in verse 31 it says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And you read that. In fact, all the disciples did agree with Peter. But we've all let pride at one time or another ruin our relationship with God and ruin our walk with God. Remember Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The moment our heart gets proud and puffed up, and like Peter, he's just as puffed up as a balloon, boy. You can just pop him with a pin right now. We've all been there. And when we get there, that's when destruction comes. It destroys our walk with God. It destroys our walk with others. But before honor is humility. When you get yourself clothed in humility, and God is just drawn to that, and He just moves in through your life and uses you in so many different ways. But look with Peter. Look at verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Pride promotes itself and blinds itself to the truth. You know, how much can we do without Jesus Christ? I can't do anything, let alone say what Peter said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, Yet, will I never be offended? You see how he's puffing himself up? Not me, Lord. We've all been in Peter's shoes. In fact, that might be why you're away from God now. Pride. You're all puffed up with pride. And it blinds you to the truth. You know how I know? Look at verse 33 again. He said, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said to the disciples. You know, Jesus had just got done saying in verse 31, he said, you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. That's prophecy. He's quoting Scripture. And look at verse 34. That this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What did pride do? Pride doesn't regard the Word of God. Pride tells God, you're wrong. That's what Peter did. Peter told God, that's not true. He told Jesus, he had other plans. And we do that. When we get prideful, we start telling God, we have other plans. And you're wrong, Lord. I'm right. That's exactly what Peter was doing. And when the Word of God shows us that we're wrong, we say, nope, I'm right. Because we're blinded by pride. And maybe that's why you need a fresh start. Because you're blinded by pride. Peter was. Verse 35. Again. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know, pride always promotes the flesh and forgets its weaknesses. How frail we actually are. And pride thinks that we can do anything. And pride thinks it's better than God. The best thing that we can do is crush it, uproot it, expose it, uncover it, show it for what it is. Wicked. It's from the pit of hell, pride. It's Lucifer's great character coming out in us. Pride. It's the worst thing that we can have. It needs to be brought out into the light. Sometimes people will open it up for us and we're like, steaming. But they're just showing us our pride. God's good at doing that. Because if you went to Luke 22, you'd see that. You don't have to go there. But in Luke 22, after Peter denied the Lord and the cock crew, he looked at Jesus standing in the judgment hall, probably already been bloodied up pretty good, being questioned. And he looked at him and Jesus looked at him. It says, and Peter wept bitterly because it was all exposed, his pride. Everything that he said, everything that he thought he was brought down in bitter weeping. But you know, that's the best thing we can do? Get on our knees and start weeping bitterly over our sin and our pride. Look to Jesus. Look to the Bible. And we can get another fresh start because, you know, thankfully for Peter, in John 21, you don't have to turn there either. God gives fresh starts. It was Peter that the Lord commissioned. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. It was Peter, the same one who denied him. It was Peter that preached the Pentecost and thousands got saved. It was Peter, the one who denied the Lord. It was Peter that won the first Gentile, Cornelius. It was Peter, the one that denied the Lord. Peter was the leader, the one that denied the Lord. God is the God of second chances. God is the God of fresh starts, even when we're full of pride. Jonah got a second chance. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. We know the story of Jonah, so I'm just going to go through here. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. It says here, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Who's talking here? It's the Lord. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, Jonah's first decision was to run away from God's will. Now, God gave him a call. He called him. He gave him a commission. He gave them a place to go. He told them what to do, when to do it. And Jonah turned and went the other way. He hightailed it and went the other way. And he found a ship. Isn't that interesting? When he went to Tarshish, there was a ship ready to sail. You know, the devil will find you a ship ready to sail when you're ready. When you're ready to run away from God, the devil will have a ship waiting for you. Because he wants you to do that. He wants every teen in here to run away from God and the opportunity to serve him. He wants every adult in here to turn your back on God and do what you want to do in your life instead of serving the Lord. He'll find it. He'll give you a nice car to do it. Or he'll find you a ship like Jonah found a ship right there. And then he paid the fare. You know, it always costs you something when you run from God too. You're going to have to pay the fare. You know what else is interesting about this? He went down to Joppa, then he went down into the ship. It's like every time you run from God, you're going down. Always away from God. Why? Because he was going away from the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but just the thought of that just made my neck, the hair stand up on it. To think that I would want to walk away from the presence of the Lord. But that's what Jonah wanted to do. Jonah wanted to get away from God. And he found himself in a tight spot, didn't he? You see there in verse 15, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceeding, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." So, you ever found yourself in a tight spot? Yeah, if you run away from God, you find yourself away from the Lord and His call, and you're just being disobedient, you can find yourself in a lot of tight spots that you never intended. And then you get mad at God, as if it was His fault. Then it's all God's fault when it was all your doing. It was all my doing, see? The reason I'm in the fix I'm in is because of me, not God. Never been there in a tight spot? Jonah was. You know, chapter 2, though. Chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." And look at verse 10. "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited up Jonah upon the dry land." I bet you that was the greatest day of Jonah's life, when he got spit up on that beach. Wow. I mean, after being in a whale's belly for 3 days, and then seeing that sunshine, and feeling that sand under your feet, it must have been great. All that because he cried out to God. And that's what it takes sometimes, just for a fresh start, is just to cry out to God. You may not even know what to say. And turn to Romans 8, 26 and 27, where it says, when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will pray on your behalf. Just cry out to God. If you want a fresh start. That's if you want a fresh start. If you want to stay where you're at, you can stay where you're at. But stop fighting Him. The best way to renew your relationship with God is to obey Him. It'll renew your relationship with God. Remember the humility part now. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility. So if you want some honor, if you want to be honored by God, you're going to have to humble yourself. So what happens? There's a fresh start. You see in chapter 3, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And he preached what he was told to preach. He did what he was supposed to do, and probably witnessed the greatest revival we've ever seen. Over 100,000 people got saved because one preacher got right with God. 100,000 people. There's actually more. 60, I think, thousand. So the best way to renew your relationship is just to obey. You might see some other people repent of their sins if you get right with God. Fresh start for obedience. Job started over. Just a couple verses in Job. Turn to Job chapter 42. Job 42. In verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And you know the story of Job. I'm not going to go through all that. You know that all that Job lost. You know all that Job went through. What do you do? What do you do when... Where do you turn when you've lost your whole family? Except your wife, and she's arguing with you. You know you're in trouble then. You've lost all your cattle, all your wealth. You trust the Lord. That's the only thing I could get out of this, was just keep trusting God. Especially when you don't understand it. You can't make heads or tails of it. You know, my little finite brain, I can't think of why in the world, Lord, you would allow this to happen, or why you brought this on now, but I'm just going to have to trust you, just like Job trusted you. You know, when I was a little guy, at home, living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, back in the States, at 6, 7, 8, 9, I'm just trying to think, you know, I didn't think about where my meals were coming from. I didn't think about my clothes that I was going to wear. I didn't think about the rent on the apartment we lived in. I didn't think about life insurance. I can't think of anything I worried about, was except maybe where my rubber ball was and my stickball bat. That's the only thing I can remember worrying about. You know why? My father worried about that. I didn't worry about that. I didn't even know it at the time. That he probably had concerns about where's the rent coming from or what are we eating tonight? Of course, we didn't have that bad, but what I'm saying is, I didn't worry about it. So why am I worrying about it now when my Father in heaven's a whole lot bigger than my Father, my earthly Father? I'm just going to trust Him. And yeah, you're going to hurt, you're going to grieve, and there's going to be times when you just don't know what to do. You want to bang your head against the wall. Bang it on your pillow and ask God to help you. And to trust Him more and more and more. Because he just sees the whole picture. And we don't. You know, there's some people in our church right now that are just going to have to trust God. They're going through some rough times, aren't they? They're just going to have to trust God. You don't have a word to help them. God does. God has a grace that can flow into a situation. Nobody can touch that. Only God can do that. Job never forgot one thing. If you look back in chapter 23, and maybe you'll need this too at some time, in chapter 23 and verse 8 it says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself. On the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He's there. He's working. Even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of people's trial today, God is still working and moving. Job never forgot one thing, that God was always there. God was moved by Job's humble prayer for his friends. And God turned it all around. Let's just finish here in Job 42. Go back to Job 42. Look at these verses here. God gave Job twice as much when he started over. Verse 10 says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And then in verse 12, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first," then he goes on and on, "name of the fairest women in the land." God just blessed Job all over. But the key was to trust him. So you know what? It's not over till God says it's over. You just keep trusting him. And finally, well, the fresh start there is to trust God. You get a fresh start with God. And David started over. You all know the story of David, but just turn to Psalm Psalms 51. You all know David was a great king, but he had his problems like we all do. He made his, well, it's all mistakes, but it was his sins. He sinned greatly, and he repented greatly. In Psalm 51, in verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David's repentance over his past sin set him on a new course. You see, the same thing can happen to us. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how low you've gone. It doesn't matter what sin you committed. You can get it under the blood of Jesus Christ and be just as clean as the day you got saved. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's a reassurance that God can make all things new. He can make things right again. So David humbled himself. He repented and he asked forgiveness for his sins. And he got a cleansing. And that should be our desire. We should be like David. We should want to get right with God. Do you have any unconfessed sin in your life? Take a good look in your heart. I guarantee there's some unconfessed sin in there. I know you're looking at me like I know it. I have no idea what it is. But I know it's there. You got some sin in your life. It's probably keeping each one of us from being on another level in our walk with God. David got right. So as much as we think ill of David, he got absolutely clean. And God used him in a great way. Do you want to be that clean today? He desires and he got a clean heart. He desired to receive the right spirit. A good attitude. A new, true, sincere attitude he had in his life. And he desired the joy that he once had to be restored. You know, joy isn't just a happy, happy, bubbly over. It's a happy, happy, bubbly over in here all the time because God's in there and He's living His life inside of you. To be restored, you know, that meaning that David wanted back the life that he had with God before he sinned. That's what David wanted. He wanted that restored, to renew or reestablish that relationship that brought joy. Do you want that relationship with your God again? There's unconfessed sin in your life. Why don't you confess it? Get clean. We're no better than David. But we can have that joy back in our life. We can hit the reset button. We reboot computers. Let's reboot our lives. Restart your life. You know, David, I believe, had a revival. Now, he wasn't saved again. I believe David was a saved man. But I believe he got revival. That means he was restored. And that sense, that overwhelming life of Christ began to well up in him again. Just like the moment you got saved. Can you remember the moment you got saved? When God came in. It was amazing, the feeling that was inside of me. I want that back. God takes His rightful place again in your life. You know how you can recognize if you're having personal revival? If you want to know if you're having revival in your life, see if it matches verse 13. Because verse 13 says, David said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Then, Lord, all I want to do is serve you and tell everybody about you and tell sinners how to be saved. I want to teach transgressors their ways." When you're having a revival, you won't be able to shut up about how good God is, and you'll just want to tell everybody. So if you're not doing that, then you need a revival. You need a fresh start. I'm not even going to read. You can read James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. But I'll tell you what. It comes to drawing closer to God. If you take a step, don't think for 1 minute God doesn't do His part. He said, "I'll draw close to you. If you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you." It's up to you. But it's all about a little bit of mourning and repentance. It's about getting that sin, that stuck in that heart of yours that you think nobody knows about, God knows about it. Get it out, like David did, and David was completely restored. Now, where are you in your walk with God? Right now. Not yesterday or tomorrow, right now. Where are you in your walk with God? Do you need a fresh start? Have you gotten off course? You just wonder where God is in your life. You have to say, first of all, are you saved? You need a fresh start there. Are you full of pride like Peter? You're telling God what you're going to do? Maybe you need a fresh start there. Maybe you've disobeyed like Jonah. Maybe you just need to say, I'm sorry, God. From now on, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm going to do what you told me to do. Maybe you've had a tragedy in your life like Job did. You're just going to have to trust God. Or maybe you got sin in your life like David. Whatever it is, you need a fresh start. God's there. He's not far away. As Job found out, you just need to draw near to him. So it's really up to you, isn't it? God's ready. It's really up to us. I love this verse of the Scripture. Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things? Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some of you are in the wilderness today. Some of you are in the desert. God can give you a way out. He can bring streams into the desert. Don't feel stuck, because you don't have to stay stuck. You just need to take some time and talk to God. You need to make a fresh start. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the invitation really, Lord, is right now while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Lord, just want to talk to you about ourselves, not anybody else. How's my walk with God? How am I doing? Just how far away or how close am I to you? Lord, it's not your desire that we get so far away from you. You don't move. Trust that moves away from you. You've given us so many opportunities to come back, Lord. We're just getting another fresh start here today, another second chance. I pray that somebody just confesses their sin, uproots and exposes that pride. We just trust you more and more and more. Whatever it takes, Lord, to draw close to you and get a second chance. And Father, I don't know the crowd, many people that somebody's not saved here. I pray, Father, if there's one here that's not saved, or they've heard about heaven, maybe even heard about hell, but they have no idea what it means to be saved. They have no idea what it means to be born again. Father, I pray that they might talk to someone before they leave. I pray that they might just take the pastor's hand and ask them how to be saved. Lord, we come before you needy and desiring to be as close to you as we possibly can. Father, I pray you bless the people as they talk to you and as they lift up their hearts before you, Lord, that you would just bless this message to their hearts. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.